My name is Jeff Harbach. I'm the CEO of Coffin Fellows and the host of the Coffin Fellows podcast. This season, our podcast is produced in partnership with Mighty Capital and features different Coffin Fellows as co-hosts. In this podcast, we dive deep into the personal narratives of some of the most successful names in the venture capital industry. But we're not here just to explore their highlight reels, however impressive they are. From failures and formative learning experiences to inflection points and aha moments, we discuss the real, authentic journeys that each individual goes through to become the best version of themselves in order to best serve the entrepreneurs they invest in. Covering various themes in venture capital investing, we speak with the world's top leaders in capital formation, all from a place of authenticity and vulnerability. Together, we'll unravel what truly makes a great venture capital investor. Now let's meet today's host and their guest. Welcome back to the Coffin Fellows podcast. I'm really excited about today's episode. I'm thrilled to welcome my friend and general partner at Andreessen Horowitz, where he oversees the firm's cultural leadership fund, Chris Lyons, to the show. Chris, welcome.
Hey, what's up, Jeff? How's it going, man?
My man, great to have you here with us. Let me brag about you for a little bit first. So, as I said, Chris is a general partner at Andreessen Horowitz, where he oversees the firm's cultural leadership fund. CLF launched in 2018 with a mission to connect the world's greatest cultural leaders to the best new technology companies and engage, empower, and elevate Black builders and creators on their journeys towards excellence in the technology industry. The $18 million CLF Fund 1 was Silicon Valley's first venture capital fund consisting of 100% African-American LPs or limited partners. Today, CLF has invested in over 65 startups at the intersection of culture and innovation and across multiple industries, including consumer, enterprise, crypto, fintech, healthcare, and biotech. Super impressive with what you've built at CLF. Tell us a little bit about that first, Chris.
Oh, man. Thank you so much, man. It's been a long time coming and super excited for all the work that we're doing at Andreessen Horowitz and through the Cultural Leadership Fund. So, but yeah, no, I mean, look, this has been, to me, sounds like it's pretty much like my life's work now in terms of really just kind of bringing this bridge between culture and innovation. You know, I've always been passionate about how the future of technology is going to really shape mainstream, you know, consumer behavior. And then at the same time, also just thinking about, you know, how culture and sports, music, entertainment, fashion are also going to, and arts are going to be incorporating, you know, software and technology at the same time. And so for me, I'm just super excited to wake up every day and just think about, you know, what the future is going to look like and then, you know, how we're going to actually help shape that. So,
you know, I love that, Chris. So you're a Coffin Fellow from class 19. You and I met in the Coffin Fellow
school.
Old school.
I'm old school now. Yeah.
and you and I met in the program, and I remember our, you know, whether it's our like 10 mile run around Dublin together or many of our other adventures. For the entire time that I've known you, this has always been really core to you, this focus on the intersection of culture and technology. Where did that come from? We're going to go a little bit into your childhood, but give us a sense for when did this really click for you and where did this come from? Because ever since I've known you, this has been super important to you.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. I mean, I think nobody knows except for you and maybe a few of the team, but like the CLF, the original idea to actually make me think that this was something that we could do was actually the Big Idea project that we had when we basically had to come up with this giant thesis of, you know, what we're going to do at the end of our 2-year program at Kauffman Fellowship. And so it was right around the same time as I was, you know, working at the firm, right at the time I was chief of staff to Ben. And, you know, we just started seeing more and more people from outside of Silicon Valley starting to come into our offices and learning about the future and trying to figure out how we can help get them into investment opportunities and partnerships. And then it ended up becoming, you know, a competitive advantage for us for where we were, you know, behind the scenes winning deals. And so for me, it was like, all right, well, how do I, you know, take the work that I'm already doing? And then, you know, also by being a part of Kauffman, you know, kind of synthesize that into, you know, a final project. And I think that my thesis was how influencers will be the next big venture capitalist. And so I think it started that in 2016, and was really just writing the Big Idea final project at the exact same time as we were, you know, doing it in real life. And so to me, it's always just been exciting for a number of different reasons. I mean, one specifically is just if you think about, you know, culture, and if you think about consumer culture, it always starts off with Black culture. And so like Black culture has been at the center of, you know, sports, music, entertainment, fashion, film, arts. And I could go through so many different people that have really helped pave the way for that. But then when you go into technology industry, you know, consumer culture is probably like only 10 to 15 years old. And so, you know, it's only right that the next generation of tech is going to be influenced by, you know, by culture. And if we can do that, but also, you know, with the position that we're having, that we're at, you know, within Andreessen Horowitz and, you know, working with some of the best new technology companies, really thinking through ways in which we can connect the dots between the two. And so, you know, on my end, it's really important to always, which is the most natural part, is just staying connected to, you know, what's happening in the world of, you know, how NFTs are really going to help change the game, or like what's going on in the music industry, or how fashion and tech are really going to come together. But then at the same time, identifying the companies that are going to really help empower that and connecting the dots between the two to really help create something that has never existed, or, you know, or doing it at a level that can really help, you know, not only change the future of the industry and drive the next generation of consumer culture, but even more so use this as a proof point for people to know that, hey, you know, you don't have to just be in, you know, the mainstream businesses in order to really help scale to as a career option, and that like technology and software and like, you know, these are also great ways to establish yourself, and, you know, working with influential people and having them also showing how, you know, they've invested into this company or they're partnering with this, and it really just shows that, you know, innovation is cool, innovation is real. And then also, you know, from a financial standpoint, this is where the next generation of wealth could be happening. And, you know, if that's the case, then more Black people, more African Americans, more diverse backgrounds, more, you know, people, Black and brown people, everybody that needs to like have a seat at that table. Like, I want to make sure that, you know, not only just through CLF and not only through Andreessen Horowitz, but just all throughout technology, that we, you know, are representing ourselves at a first in class way and getting access and having that door not just propped open, but all the way open in a way that, you know, now people can look at us and know that, like, hey, it's a competitive advantage to have us at the same side as you're at the table, because, you know, what we can offer in terms of, you know, innovation, ideas, partnership opportunities, and then also just, you know, how we think about how the world is going to operate. It's just something that me personally, you know, it's in our DNA, and it's something that I think, you know, is going to exist more and more as we look at the future growth of Silicon Valley and the technology industry in general.
Gosh, Chris, there is so much there that I could dive into, and that I want to kind of try to cover as best way we can. You know, I love that this idea for the Cultural Leadership Fund was part of your, what was the Big Idea Project, what's now what we refer to in Coffin Fellows as the TLP, your Thought Leadership Project. And it really was. I remember you talking about that, saying that you thought that the influencers would be the next big investors. So the fact that that's now come to fruition and influenced so much of what you're working on just really fills my heart with gratitude and with pride for all that you've done so far and will continue to do. You know, this idea that the consumer and culture, consumer culture starts with Black culture, feels very authentic to you. And I've always viewed you as someone that is just true to yourself. And that's what I've always loved about you, is I always knew what I was going to get in my interactions with Chris. You've always were so authentic. You viewed your experiences, all of your formative experiences, as a strength, and you entered every situation bringing all that to the table, bringing your full authentic self. Where does that come from? You must have incredibly self-aware parents, or just, you know, maybe parents of the year. Tell us a little bit about maybe your parents and your upbringing to shed light on where that authenticity comes from.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think at the end of the day, it's a number of things. I mean, my mom is a free spirit. My dad is from the business world. So I'm like a hybrid between the two. But if I had to pick a choice, I'm always team free spirit. So I think that, you know, that also goes into line with like some of my passions growing up, is just being, you know, a music producer and engineer, and just loving the idea that 30 minutes before you walk into a studio, songs was not even existed into the world. And now, you know, you sit down in front of a keyboard and a drum machine, and, you know, now you can make a song that could help bring life and joy to the entire world, possibly. I think that, like, and then applying that same thesis of production and song creation and just, you know, limitless ideas and being able to just kind of go from a vision and turn it into a thing. You know, that's always been my life's mantra, is thoughts to things. And, you know, I think that, like, when it comes to just the real world, you know, like you said, your full authentic self. To me, I think that that's the only way to live. I think, like, life is short, and, you know, I don't have the time to remember who I am, you know, from 6 to 8 p.m. and then be this person from 9 to 5 p.m. and then, you know, have a break at home and be this third person where I can be who I really am. I think that, you know, living your authentic self and being 100% you, that's the ultimate luxury, is the ability to kind of, you know, represent yourself in everything that you do. And I think that, like, in my work, and what I'm doing, you know, not only through CLF, but just in all industries, is just, you know, living one life, but doing it to the fullest, and making sure I can combine all the things that I'm genuinely passionate about into my work, to where it doesn't even feel like work. I mean, obviously, you know, things are, you have to look at email and those, that's not always the most fun thing or whatever, but I always look at it in terms of creation, you know, using things that other people might think as detractors as actually opportunities to, you know, put yourself ahead. I think when I first started working in technology, it was really big, you know, to kind of get past this idea of being like the only brother in the room, right? Like, yeah, that was super tough, and that was really hard for me at the very beginning. But then I realized that was, like, actually my biggest competitive advantage. Like, everybody knows who I am because I'm the only Black person in the room, or I'm super memorable because of that, or I can, you know, I have insights that nobody else has, or I can see the world differently, or, you know, I can invite other people into a party or into an event, and I know that they've never met them before, and now I'm opening doors because I was the first person in there, or the only person in there. And so I always just looked at, like, you know, situations where you can just continually be yourself. Like, you know, at the end of the day, like, everybody just wants to be, you know, be recognized and be seen, and not in, like, an egotistical way, but just seen as, like, a person. And to me, I think it's always important to give that energy to whoever we're talking to, whether it's work or whether it's friendship or whether it's, you know, just building a relationship with the cashier at the grocery store. You know, you have to keep that same energy all around. And I think that it ends up becoming one of the best muscle memories that you can create, that will, you know, generate success across all your life, but also at the same time, just allow you to really just be, you know, be, like, period. Like, and I think that, like, we spend so much time in all of our work trying to emulate something other than ourselves. And when we realize that, like, when we just stay in tune with who we are and focus on that, that you actually get 10 times more done. So, yeah, that's kind of how I live my life. I mean, I view work as, you know, a creative outlet. And, you know, I think that it doesn't matter what I'm doing, whether it's venture capital, whether it's sitting in a recording studio, I want to make sure that, you know, creativity you know, being able to vision how the future is going to go is part of that equation.
Your parents, and especially your mom with her free spirit nature, must be incredibly proud. And so, you know, looking
shout at out
you
to now, mama.
What's that?
I said, shout out to mama. Got to give a shout out to my mom.
There you go.
You always got to do that. But the guy, shout out to my dad too, because he's going to end up getting mad when he listens to this. So shout out to my dad. Shout out to everybody.
Love for both of them. But as a card-carrying member of Team Free Spirit, as you said, what are the things that kind of get you out of bed now today? You know, you kind of addressed this a little bit just a minute ago, but tell us, like, what gets you super excited in your day-to-day? What are the things that you're working on today that really drive you? And what are the ways that kind of your free-spirited nature allows you to be really successful or impactful in the things that you're doing?
I mean, one of the things I really love is a good idea. you know, I love a transformative idea when I see something for the first time, whether it's a founder, or whether it's a company, or whether it's an individual just riffing off of how they see the world. I just love hearing good ideas because...
How do you know it's a good idea?
Well, I mean, there's a saying that I learned very easily is it's a good ideas normally sound like bad ideas because, you know, if it's a good idea that sounds like a good idea, then everybody would do it. And if it's a bad idea that sounds like a bad idea, well, then that's just a bad idea. So you want to always find like the hybrid between the good ideas and the bad ideas. And oftentimes those ideas are also very contrarian to where the future of the world is going to go, because people will often dismiss some of the world's best ideas. And to me, whenever I hear something that's a little bit off or, you know, hasn't been done before, that's normally when I get most excited.
What do you think that humanity, or even just taking that to investors and VCs, what should we be focusing our resources on right now to make the biggest impact? As you're talking about, you know, the ideas of you love a good idea. What do you think that we should be spending our good ideas on or our resources on?
Well, I mean, I would bucket that into like technology solutions and then also just like, you know, solutions that can help impact the world. You know, I think the number one is like food. You know, how do we eliminate hunger? How do we fix homelessness? And like, what are solutions that can really impact that? I mean, to me, those are two of the most important things. Homelessness is something that I'm really trying to like understand, you know, how to like, is that a software approach? It has to be more than just, you know, relying on the government. So like, we have to figure out a solution that can make that happen, you know? So I think like I always think about things like that. Through software, I think about, you know, how can we, you know, kind of keep everybody on the same page. I think that software is like the giant equalizer. You know, if you knew about like Bitcoin or Ethereum or all these other tokens, you know, back in the day, like, you'd be in an entirely different position. But I think that one of the reasons that like there still is this wealth gap is I think that the thing that can change the wealth gap is access to information. And so I think that, you know, more and more ways that we can create access to information so that everybody can be on the same page in terms of knowing what opportunities are available. Whether or not you act on them is one thing, but the access to the information, I think, is super important. And, you know, creating platforms and businesses that can really do that. I mean, like a podcast is one thing. Like, you know, like we're early investors in Clubhouse, and I think that's another incredible opportunity to really kind of bring access and information together to where you didn't even know this person existed, and now they're, you know, telling you about, you know, how they view the world, or just hearing directly from other people that through a shared environment. You know, I think that, you know, financial technology platforms that help give credit to people that, you know, didn't know how to earn credit, or, you know, helping with financial equations. Like, you know, we're investors in a company called Current that really makes it easy for people to kind of, you know, update their bank and have a next generation mobile first bank to help them understand how their finances are moving forward. You know, I could go literally on. I mean, the healthcare system, like we're investors in a company called Levels that really will allow you to track your health. And if you think about, you know, even like forms of cancer or forms of, you know, diabetes and, you know, all these things that impact, you know, our overall quality of life now can be measured through software and technology to help, you know, reduce the ability for these circumstances to happen just by being able to track your and quantify your own health. I think that's also super important. You know, I really believe in ways in which people can make money just by doing naturally what they love. So like we're an investors in a company called Chef, which allows anybody that can create a homemade meal and now turn their kitchen into, you know, a platform that people could buy and sell on a marketplace. So, you know, like if my mom makes the best, you know, fried catfish, now she can, you know, create a whole business on Chef, and that could be an entire that could change her entire life, because, you know, she may have been looking for, you know, trying to find where the next best, like, you know, how she's going to eat today, or like what type of job she might be out of employment. I mean, like COVID really changed the game for a lot of people. I mean, not always in the positive way, because from going on Zoom, but, you know, some people were just working in physical locations and that got shut down. And so, you know, being, having that opportunity to really look back and have alternative options to make a living is super, super interesting. And we're seeing more and more of those things happen. And so, you know, shout out to everybody that's really helping build new economies for people to focus on their passions and what they love to do. And then the last thing, I mean, I could go on and on is like, I just really am a big fan of the, like what's going on within the next generation of creators and how we're creating new ecosystems and platforms and financial resources so that, you know, creators can actually take over and run their own businesses at a first in class level. Like, you know, I think that this is the world, this is the land of the digital renaissance where creators are really at the forefront of, you know, dictating how, what type of, what's going to happen. And their voice, creators' voices are louder now than ever. Art is becoming, you know, extremely important in everyday world. I mean, we've been following NFTs for a minute and now, you know, it finally hit mainstream, which is super exciting. And because of that, now, you know, I can buy art from I have a guy that I work really closely with. His name's Afroscope. He's out in Ghana, right? And so like I'm working together with him. I never would have met him before, but because of, you know, I purchased one of his pieces, not in US dollars, you know, in Ethereum, you know, like, which is insane. Like, and now we're connected and now we're friends and, you know, and working together on different projects. I think that that's like, that's really going to be probably one of the most exciting bridges to really see how the creator economy and, you know, this next digital renaissance really will be empowered through technology. And so I just want to make sure that, you know, we're doing our part and not only just understanding where the world is going, but really helping those that are trying to build it, do it in a first in class way.
So many important nuggets here that I would want people to make sure that they're listening to. One that I want to return to, and we'll use this to transition, is this idea of that you presented here, Chris, that, you know, in order to solve the wealth gap, we want to have more access to information. I would say that also we need mentors and we need role models. And I know, Chris, through this industry, that you are a mentor and a role model to many. I've had many, many people tell me that is that your example to them and what you've done and being your authentic self and doing all the things that you've done at Andreessen Horowitz and really in the technology sphere has given them an idea of what's possible. As you've become a role model and a mentor for them, that is super important. So I just want to give you a nod of the cap and a shout out there. But as we go to—
I appreciate that.
You bet, man. But as we go to this idea of this access to information and the role that you play in being a part of that access to information, it really starts to talk to our personal brand. And that's one of the topics I want to cover with you in this podcast when we're talking about the four pillars of the framework that we believe lead to success in venture. One of them is having a strong personal brand. And the world would say, the world kind of defines personal brand in very different ways. The way that we at Kauffman Fellows define personal brand is that it is the promise of the experience. It is how does every single interaction and the aggregation and the culmination of all those interactions, how do those all add up to how I experience you, Chris Lyons, as a friend, as a mentor, as an investor? And so you've said this before. You've said that your network isn't who you know, it's who knows you. And that if you start contributing to others' success, everyone will want to know you. Tell me a little bit about that and how you view, you know, kind of your personal brand and how that's important in the role that you play in mentoring and being a role model to others.
I think that, like, you know, you always want to be somebody that can be counted on. I mean, there's a lot of brands and there's a lot of ways that you can, you know, have your brand or whatever. But I think the easiest thing is just like, you know, if you think about a basketball game, like if there's 10 seconds left, like you want to be the person that has the ball, you know, like, and you want the whole team to look at you and be like, all right, I trust that he's going to get it done. Right. And so for me, I really think about it that way, but also knowing that even though I have the ball, that doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to be the one to make the final shot. Like I can create the space and then, you know, dish it out to somebody on the corner and allow them hit the three. And that's still a win. We won the game, but it was me being able to help make that decision and move it forward. And so I think that when you view a brand and when you view a network, you have to really think about it as like, how do you kind of intertwine your network as much as possible so that like everybody's working together? So, you know, I view the world really through a bunch of different nodes. And so, you know, whenever me and you are talking about, hey, like maybe we should connect with this person or this person, like in my mind, I'm spinning about, okay, who can I, you know, help put in touch to really, you know, help take your idea and what they're working on and make it, you know, a 10x multiplier to really help do something better. You know, if you do that successfully, that helps you, that helps the two parties that you've connected the dots with as well, without, you know, you having to do anything more than just being thoughtful and helpful. The number one air quotes from a venture capitalist is, how can I help? But I really think about it as in a much deeper layer, as in like, how can I serve? And I think that, you know, venture capital is really the ultimate service industry. And if you really just remove kind of all of the, you know, financial situations or like what's in it for me, and just really take the opportunity that you're in as an opportunity to serve, I think that just by how the way the world works, you're going to, things will come back to you in ways that you don't even realize it. So it's always just good just to put your head down, do the work, figuring out how you can help make the world a better place by putting people together, creating new things, reaching out and being a servant. And I think that that is not even just like, you know, a brand, but I think it's an energy. And I think that that's the energy that I think will be that next generation of success, when people can, you know, I honestly think that the brand is not necessarily what you think you are, but it's what people say about you when you're not in the room. And so, you know, and the only thing that, if you keep that in energy as opposed to a brand, you know, that energy will follow you and follow around others, because, you know, it's much deeper than just how you, you know, do a blog post or, you know, how your tweet storms are. I mean, those are all cool and those are your brand, but like, it's really about, it's not like Ben says this best. It's not what you do. It's not what you say. It's what you do, which is who you are. And I think that that's a mantra within itself. And it's a lot of the codes of ethics that I live by.
It's so critical, you know, that we often define venture capital as sitting at the intersection of ideas, people, and capital. And really what you're saying is your expert hack here, or the way that you manage this. And I know, Chris, you have so many people that, you know, following the sports analogy, that are looking to you to take the final shot. They are coming to you with their most important questions or their most, you know, their biggest ideas. You have so many people that are coming to you for that. And I guess what you're saying is, as you sit at this intersection of people, ideas, and capital, your biggest hack, or the way that you make sure that you are your authentic self in this arena, is to always look to see where 1 + 1 = 5 and where you can connect different nodes in your network to have them be helping each other. Is that right?
Yeah, 1000%. And also bringing nodes that aren't even in the dots, you know, that like that aren't even connected in the ecosystem. I mean, when we launched the Culture Leadership Fund, you know, our fund was the first fund in the history of Silicon Valley to be 100% Black limited partners. And, you know, I mean, we started off really talking with a lot of people that were in the influencer network, which, you know, we also built out very early on. But then we had to realize like, look, if we're really going to do this, like we're going to have to scale outside of our original ecosystems and our original networks to really, you know, proactively encourage people to understand and get into venture capital and know what the world is like. And, you know, many of the LPs in Fund One, it was their first time as investors into venture capital. And so I think that even with more responsibility is knowing what nodes that are already existing, but then also knowing when to bring nodes that aren't even connected into the network to now, you know, have that be part of an ecosystem to really help expand even more. And so I think like we also, you know, invested in all the money that we make from our fund management fees and carry go to nonprofit organizations, you know, 12 nonprofit organizations that are helping advance more African-American and diverse backgrounds into tech. And so now from that, like our resources, and when I know when I'm working hard and spending, you know, late nights, you know, trying to get deals done or whatever, I feel like there's there's like a little subconscious superpower that I have, knowing that if this thing goes the way it's supposed to, not only is it going to help me and, you know, push me forward as a brand, but I also have good karma of, you know, a lot of the ecosystem that we're going to be supporting and really making sure that the proceeds that come from this fund are going to help make the world a better place, ideally, you know. And so really working on something that's bigger than yourself, I think is another layer that kind of complements having a service mindset. And I, you know, while still, you know, being a venture capitalist, you know, like I want to win deals. I want to get access and work with the best companies. I want to change the world and find the best new businesses and beat the competitors. And, you know, like, I love that. I play to win. You know, I think that's the number one thing that I love to do. But I think that when you go deep into, you know, the layers of what my quote unquote brand is or who I am, I think it has more so to do with a bigger mission that I'm focused on, which is really trying to get everybody in the world an equal opportunity to get into technology and to get into venture capital or to get into, you know, working at a startup or even thinking that they can, this is a real option for them. You know, I'm a music engineer. Like I got a degree in recording arts and entertainment business. You know, like I came out of school. My first job was working for Jermaine Dupri as a mix mastering engineer. You know, like, so if I can do it, anybody can do it. Yeah. And so, you know, I just want to make sure that we always continue to tell those stories and stay rooted in something that is deeper than all of us.
You know, just really reinforces your idea or your definition of venture capital, which it being the ultimate service industry. It's, and starting with that question, how can I serve? It really reinforces that. Chris, another one of the things that I absolutely love about you is you are always just so dang positive. You've always got a big smile on your face. You're always happy. It's such an admirable trait about you. How do you deal with, you know, the hard things, the things that are hard about this business, whether it was, you know, from you being the only person, the only Black man in the room, or the only person of color in the room, or, you know, when a deal doesn't go well, or all the different kind of things that are tied up in your personal brand and what people are saying about you when you're not in the room and just all the stuff of life. How do you maintain such a positive outlook and turn all those experiences really into strengths or into opportunities for you? What drives you in doing that?
You know, to be honest with you, I mean, things are not always peachy clean, you know.
wait, what?
I know, right? It's just whenever I see you, Jeff, I'm just excited. You know, I'm just, you know, you always bring a nice little spark to my day. But look, I honestly think it's not having a positive mindset. I think it's having a neutral mindset. And I think that, you know, whether things are good or whether things are bad, always, you know, I always try and maintain that same, you know, mindset. Like, I think a successful moment is just a successful moment, and then you go back into it, and then the next day you're back at it again, and that successful moment doesn't necessarily, it might linger into the next day, but it doesn't determine whether or not the success of today is going to happen. And same thing if something doesn't happen, like, or you lose a deal, like, that doesn't mean that you're going to lose a deal tomorrow. Like, you have to get back at it and do it again. And so I'm just really big on kind of just staying neutral and celebrating the successes when they happen, but then also at the same time realizing that, you know, like, it's just like making a song. Like, I always used to be super excited whenever, like, I hit the world would align and I'd make a record and it would sound great. But then, you know, I knew I'd have to wake up the next day and do it again, you know? And so it's kind of like this thing of just always, you know, like, staying upbeat and always being ambitious and looking forward to what the next day is going to be. But at the same time, just realizing that, you know, if you just sit and you know, bask in your hits, like, you're going to end up being on the classic radio station. So, like, you're going to have to, you know, always just get back into the ring and stay focused on, you know, what the task at hand is. And I honestly think, you know, by over indexing yourself on so many things. I mean, I always have something going on I'm trying to figure out how to do. So, you know, I might be excited in one area and then, you know, behind on the other. So that kind of keeps me always in the middle. And it's just, I think it's just a mindset when you can then look back and then, you know, when you do have that time, you know, whether it's on the weekend or whether, you know, you're with your family and then they're like, oh, yo, you've done this, like that, then, you know, that's not only like probably the only time when I'm like, oh, wow, like this is really a big deal. But everything other than that is kind of like, I want to do things that are meaningful. You know, I want to do things that are inspirational to those that think that's what it is. But, you know, I really just, I'm focusing on, you know, what is my life's purpose and how can I accomplish that and bring everybody along that wants to be a part of it. And then, you know, at the same time, just open up the doors and put one foot in front of the other, because I'm still learning, you know, and like I'm still going through the process and understanding how the world works and, you know, reaching out to people, asking them how things are supposed to go. And so I think that we're always learners and we're always in our own situation as we're really trying to make the most out of our life. But if you do it the way it's supposed to and you wake up every day, you give 120%, like there's no reason for you not to look at the mirror and be happy because you did that, you know? And so I think that without being hard on yourself, but just knowing that as long as you're giving your best, like it's just being positive is just going to create even more energy and more momentum and, you know, more good things to attract. And at the firm, we talk a lot about halo effects. You know, and I think that one of the ultimate halo effects is just being a good person as much as you can be and being positive. And, you know, like you always got to be conscious because, you know, somebody's going through something that you don't even know. And so it's up to you. You never know, just that little word of encouragement or that little, especially as for founders too. You know, like, I mean, I was a founder that I know what the struggle is, you know, and I think that like you have to be very conscious of that. As you're, you know, not only as an investor, but just as a human in general.
So, Chris, speaking of successes, you are a general partner at one of the most well-known venture capital firms in the world, Andreessen Horowitz. You started, I think, as a chief of staff. Before that, you're a music engineer. You're someone that is very different and unique coming into the venture business. And yet, I think everybody would point to you as a model for success as it relates to VC. What would you say if you were able to take a time machine and go back and talk to 10-year-old Chris Lyons or 15-year-old Chris Lyons or 20-year-old Chris Lyons that was still trying to figure out the world, whereas now you feel so much more grounded and so much more mission focused? What would you say to that younger version of Chris? What advice would you give him?
Just keep going. And, you know, I think one of the big things for me was that you never know you're going to reach that moment until you're already there. And, you know, I think that you always just have to go with your best foot forward. And the thing that I always believed in as I've gotten, you know, as a kid, was that if you don't know what to do in life, just always go with what will make for a better story at the end of the day. And that's literally how I live my life. Like, you know, should I hop on this flight or should I stay at home and, you know, and wonder what would have happened? Should I, you know, stay living in Atlanta or should I buy a one-way ticket to fly across the country to, you know, San Francisco in a place I've never lived before to start an app idea in, you know, 2012? I mean, who knows, you know, like, and it goes on and on and on and on and on. So I think that, like, we're all architects in how we want to design our life. And so, you know, I think the thing that I would just always tell, I would tell my younger self is that like, you're actually writing a really interesting story and just keep on going for what option would really kind of, you know, when you're sitting at a cocktail bar or you're sitting on a podcast, like, you know, you can actually say, well, I've done this, 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 and this, and, you know, living a life that is, you know, free of fear and full of joy and, you know, really being, you know, one of one, like having a one of one experience. You know, I think that I'll probably tell myself 40, 50 years from now, like, I'm glad you realized that you only had one life, you know? And I think that that's the number one thing, like go after everything, try go after your new idea, try to build that business, go try and holler at that girl. You never know, you know, like you just go for it. You never know what happens if you do it, and that'll always make for a better story. And so I think it's like an idea that is broad enough to where it can apply for everyone. But I think that, you know, if you go for it and just have that split second whenever you're making a decision to, you know, what the best option will be, it can really kind of take you into that right into a life that is worth living.
Chris, we mentioned that you're a Coffin Fellow from Class 19. You joined the Coffin.
Shout out to all my Class 19 people. Miss you guys. Can't wait to see you again. Shout out to the WhatsApp group. Love y'all.
So you joined Coffin Fellows only a couple short years after you moved to San Francisco. Where does Coffin Fellows fall in your narrative, and how has it shaped your life?
I mean, Coffin Fellows is the reason why I'm still in venture capital. You know, I was working at the firm for probably like a year and a half, and you know, I still loved entrepreneurship. I wanted to get into, you know, I had all these ideas for companies. I'm sitting in pitch rooms and hearing incredible founders and just getting inspired. I'm like, damn, I'm ready to go back out there. But I realized that, you know, through Kaufman and the opportunity was that actually, you know, I could be 10 times more resourceful and a contributor to the world if I actually stayed on this side of the table for now. And really doubling down on that. And so for me, it was really like, okay, increase my network. So I now have friends all around the world, which is incredible. You know, I can go to Spain, I can go to Brazil, I can go to Australia, I can go to London, wherever. Like, and that's because of Kaufman, and that's because of the fellows and the people that we've been able to experience. You know, having that ability to have to travel around the world. I mean, I never went to Europe before. I never went to Singapore. I never went to Dublin, any of these places. Like, and Kaufman really kind of expanded my life and allowed me to see things I'd never seen before, and, you know, get rooted in cultures that I've always been inspired by, but finally got a chance to see them. I think first time I saw, you know, the Eiffel Tower, like we had a summit in London, and you know, I probably had like 24 hours, and I took a train down there just to see it, because I'm like, I'm this close. Yeah, like I don't know if I'm ever going to see it again. Who knows? And it's been something that I always dreamed about. So I think that it gave me the eye opening, you know, just to know people and understand even how like venture capital works in different parts of the world, right? And I think the third thing that was really important for me is just knowing how important soft skills are. I mean, I think that like hearing the hard skills and hearing how to get term sheets done and hearing all these things, you know, I think that there's definitely, you know, some skill sets that Kaufman can really contribute to. But I think that like the inner connection of who you are as an investor and being able to share those intimate feelings and responsibilities on how you're going to, you know, be first in class on what you do, and doing it in a shared space in a community. You know, I thought that was super special, and it really kind of gave me, you know, a formula to how, you know, not only am I, you know, representing Andreessen Horowitz and the Culture Leadership Fund and, you know, Kappa Alpha Psi and all these fraternities, but now I also like represent Kaufman Fellows as well. And what that means as being an investor. And so, you know, I wear that super proud. I love everything that the fellowship stands for. I mean, Jeff, you know, we talk all the time in terms of how to really help push, you know, not just Kaufman forward, but just like the future of the ecosystem. And I mean, shout out to the last class or class 26 that just came out. Like pretty much half of my friends are in there, and same thing with 25 and before. Like, and now it's like, the fellowship is really starting to become, you know, it's like a fraternity and a sorority of incredible people that just all are aligning around the same mission. And so I'm really excited that I went through the process. And, you know, I think I encourage everybody to take a closer look into it.
Chris, Kaufman Fellows is better because you are a part of it. You are an incredible visionary, an incredible investor, incredible human being, an incredible friend. And I'm so grateful for the time you spent with us today. Thanks so much for joining us, Chris Lyons.
I appreciate you guys. Listen, shout out to Jeff, the CEO, the man, the myth, the legend, the guy who's really helping move this whole thing forward. You are my brother from day one, and I appreciate us taking the time to catch up.
Love you, my man.
All right. Peace.
That's a wrap. Tune in next week for another candid conversation on what makes a great VC investor with your host, the Kauffman Fellows.